today's show is brought to you by the book Never Fall for the Forbidden, the latest in the Never Fall series by your co-host, Jennifer. Pick it up now on Amazon.com, where the Kindle price is now 99 cents, folks. Good read at a cheap price. And now, here's today's show.
Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with Jen and Joe. I am Jen.
And I am Joe, and we are coming to you from 6 feet under Toledo, Ohio.
So on today's show, we want to talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of paranormal investigation.
Yeah, and I want to throw in, you know, we made up the list of the do's and don'ts, but I also want to talk about photography. Because, you know, in every investigation, it's really important. And photography is one of the main evidence builders that you can get besides your EVPs and stuff.
Right. And with taking photographs, the number one thing people always find is orbs. So we want to talk about orbs.
You know, everybody gets orbs in their shots, okay? Every single person I've ever been to a hunt, and they take these pictures with their point-and-shoot cameras or even with their digital SLRs. And they get orbs. And I tell them, that's dust. I'm like, no, it's orbs. Okay, so let's go over some stuff about taking pictures during investigation. Just like anything else, you really got to think about what you're doing, okay? You're walking through an old building. Don't drag your feet. Don't, I mean, it's not only when you're doing photographs, you just all the time. You know, think about the area. Okay, you're in a building that's been dusty for years. Okay, if you shuffle your feet or drag your feet, you're throwing up more dust into the air. If you're walking around touching stuff, if you're doing, you know, you have to really think when you're on an investigation of what you're doing. So, I don't know if they call it roll your feet or whatever, but just walk normal. Don't scuff, don't walk hard to poof up this air and all that. But so think about your surroundings. Okay, if you're going to get an orb in the photo, it's usually when you got low flash or something. Okay, and you can kind of tell when something's out of focus and all, but anyhow, I'm getting off track here. Let's talk about things to do and not to do when taking photographs during an investigation. One thing that I recommend is dig into your camera and see if you can turn the flash down, okay? Because you don't really need the flash during an investigation, because if you're going to take pictures and a ghost shows up in the picture, it's going to show up no matter what, okay? The flash is there just to highlight the area so you know where you're at. So turn that flash way down, okay? That'll cut down on the dust orbs. And, you know, even if there's, like, cobwebs, I've seen where there was cobwebs hanging from the ceiling and people take pictures. And because the air is moving at it, the cobweb moves and it leaves like a little wisp. Okay. Cause your flash is lighting that up and it leaves a little wisp. Okay. So like I said, dig into your settings and turn that flash down. I recommend turning it less than half, you know, I mean, try play with it while you're at your house, get into a room in your house that's going to be about the same kind of lighting and just play with it. You know, practice, just like anything else. You know, and like in cold weather, hold your breath while taking the photo. I mean, I've seen so many photographs of ectoplasms that was nothing more than somebody's breath in cold air. I mean, I've seen that a lot, okay? And, you know, you're going to get stuff, but, you know, these are just tips to help you cut back on the stuff that you can debunk later. You know, it's just like when you take the photos, you know, when I go out and I do my photo hunting or, you know, I'm hanging out with another group, you know, I always say, get it right in the camera so that you don't have to go in post-production and clean it all up and all that. Try to get as nice as you can, and then you can play with it. But with, you know, like holding your breath, that does two things. Okay, when you hold a camera, and one of the techniques of a slow shutter speed is as you're holding the camera, you make yourself as the tripod. That's why when you see people with a digital SLR, they have their left hand underneath the lens, cradling it so that you can turn the lens. And the other hand is like holding a pistol. But you tuck your arms into your body and you turn your body into the tripod to steady that camera. And if it's a slow shutter speed, what you want to do is just as you push down the shutter, draw in a nice deep breath as you're doing it, just and click. Okay. And what that does is it calms you. And also with this being in cold weather, you're not blowing air out, which is getting in front of the lens. And when the flash hits, it looks like a ghost. Okay. And, you know, I've done that technique to show people how it looks, you know, and like I say, don't take pictures while walking or driving along dirt roads or paths, because that can lead to dust and particles. And just like I said, you know, you're stirring up that air in that room. And when you take a full flash picture, you're going to get an orb. I mean, try it. That's why I say practice. Go into a building or even a room and take some pictures. Have one of your friends maybe take some powder and take that powder and have them throw it up in the air and then take the shot. If you want to get orbs, you'll get thousands of them. But anyhow, you know, sometimes, I mean, I've taken pictures and I have wrote down here, do not take photos in rain, snow, sleet, freezing rain, or fog. It may also be a good idea to keep track of the pollen count in springtime and summer. Avoid photos when the pollen count is high. That's all back to the same thing. Okay. It all goes back to the same thing. You got to know your environment, you know, whether it's dust, snow, rain, sleet, whatever. Do not take the photographs with the camera pointing directly at the sun. That can cause, you know, some people can call them sun dogs, but it's just flare. It's lens flare. And a lot of your cameras now have the sun shades on them. I always take those off when I'm inside just for the fact that you don't need them. I mean, I leave them on sometimes, but I just basically take them off because lots of times I'm putting my camera in a bag or something and it takes up a little space. But anyhow, don't ever take a picture of the sun. I mean, you're going to be looking through your viewfinder, and the viewfinder is like a little magnifying glass, so you'll be burning your retinas, okay? Don't take pictures of the sun. Plus, you're going to hurt your sensors, all that jazz. You know, you can, unless you want to put on some welding mask or something. But anyhow, watch for lens flare, okay? Lens flare happens all the time. That's when a light is shining into the lens, and you'll get flare, whether it's a line or sometimes it's a hexagon shape because of the iris opening of your lens. So watch for flare. And you can see it when you're taking the pictures. Okay, when you're looking through your viewfinder, try this. When you're in a room, put your viewfinder up to your eye, take the camera and point it away from the light, and then turn slowly into light and watch for the flare. You'll see it. So you got to know what the flare is. Take a picture with the flare so that you can tell what it is. All right. Another thing is, and I've done this though, but don't take photos of reflective surfaces. This would include like mirrors, glass windows, or even pools of water, you know. But this is a rule that I break all the time because you're taking pictures of a reflective surface so that you can see if there's anybody behind you or whatever. You know, the ghost will appear in mirrors. So this is one rule that I have wrote down here. Don't take them, but I always do, you know. Just know what note in your book or whatever that this shot was taken through a window or the shot is a mirror. I mean, a mirror you'll obviously see, but if you take a picture of water, mark it down because you get that reflection. And I've seen many times where people show me a photo and they say, look, I got a picture of a person in my photo. And I look at them and go, yeah, that's because the water is acting like a mirror and you can see that person standing right over there. So anyhow, you know, another things too, is your camera strap. Either remove the camera strap or keep it around your neck, okay? If you're a klutz like me, put the camera strap around your neck. Or like when I'm doing music photography, and sometimes I'll do it during a ghost hunt, but what I do is I put my hand through the strap, and then I wrap the strap a few times around my wrist because that also locks the camera close, you know, makes your body more of a tripod and all that, and plus it keeps people from snatching it. But when you're doing ghost hunts, the best thing is either take the strap off the camera and carry it or put the strap around your neck, because I've seen so many times where people will take a picture and the strap will be in the shot and sometimes it looks like a ghost. I mean, sometimes that strap is close enough to the camera where it's out of focus and it looks like a ghost. You know, these are all things that you're doing to make sure that you don't have to debunk this, the good stuff that you get later. You know, people will say, well, that's a camera strap. So keep that in mind, you know, and even if it's a tiny strap, the big fat ones like I have on my camera, I mean, obviously they'll show up, but if you got a small strap or one of them decorative ones that I've seen that just look like a string, for especially for your point and shoots, the point and shoots come with that tiny little strap that's meant to just go around your wrist, and that will definitely get in the shots. You know, getting back to the, like, doing stuff in cold weather in the summertime, you know, you say, well, I don't have cold weather, but I've seen people smoking in the rooms during the investigation, which is a big no-no, okay? There's a few things, like smoke, do not get drunk, do not do all that. Do that afterwards. You know, that's for the party afterwards, but don't smoke. If somebody's in, you know, if you're doing an investigation, whether it's just you or, you know, somebody else in the room, you know, I don't want to make it sound like you're doing the investigation by yourself, because don't ever do that. I've seen too many bad things happen, but don't smoke. Whether it's you or the people you're with or that, make sure nobody smokes, because that smoke lingers in the air, and once again, it gets back to the same thing as your breath. It'll show up in the photo as a ghost. You know, just think about what you're doing, people. Okay? I'm preaching you now. This is my preaching voice. Plus, another thing, too, is when you smoke, it takes the whole smell of the room to smell like smoke. One of the signs of a ghost, you know, you got the physical, you got the visible, the audible, the olfactory senses. That's how you, I mean, think about it. If you got somebody in the room smoking, you're taking pictures, for one, you're going to see ectoplasms, which is not, it's just the smoke. You're going to smell smoke. You're not going to smell the roses or smell the, like in my house, the vacuum cleaner smell that I smell all the time. Anyhow, yeah, don't smoke. So those are a few things I want to go over when taking pictures. But, you know, like I said, I want you to go out there and I want you to do the things I say don't do in your own home or that or in the backyard, so that you can learn what dust looks like, what, you know, your breath looks like, what flares look like. But taking pictures during the investigation is a real important thing. You know, don't go overboard. Don't be like a strobe light taking pictures. But, you know, if you see something, like if you go to our website, they're not up there yet because we just did our website. Of course, probably by the time you listen to this, it will be done. But anyhow, go to our website. Whether it's the Facebook or our regular 222 Paranormal, you know, website, go in the photos. I've got a few photos there that I put up there. One series is from the Collingwood Arts Center, to where I took a picture with full flash, half flash, and no flash. And I'm talking within like seconds of each other. And you'll be able to see the difference between dust, I have it marked, and an actual orb. I mean, I caught the orb, and Jen also took pictures with her point-and-shoot camera, and she was a good 50 feet away from me. She got the same orb in the same place, and like I said, you'll be able to see, I have it marked on the picture, of the timing and the camera setting, and they showed up in both shots, which, that's an orb, I'm telling you. You'll see the dust, and the dust will disappear because the flash was half, but the orb stayed, okay? And then also, there's also a picture on there. We went to a fort right by our house called Fort Meigs. It's like 10 miles away. And we did that Halloween thing where they walk in big groups around, and each area has a little storyteller, which was really cool. I actually enjoyed it. I mean, I know it was not a real ghost hunt or whatever like that, but hey, the tours are fun too. I enjoy it, you know. But there was a reenactment or a reenactor telling us a story. And I was just snapping some shots. And if you look in the picture, I cannot debunk the shot that I took. There is a face in the picture. And I've done everything. You know, I'm a pro photographer. I know how the cameras work. It's not flare. It's not an orb because it's a physical face. But it's so cool. And I don't know if I posted it, but I actually had a soldier that was dressed up in period clothing. I had him stand up on a hill, and I tried to make it look like a, I don't want to say fake photograph, but I took this picture of him, and it was super cool. I'm going to have to find that if I didn't post it, but it is set up. I mean, I did set this shot up. I told him what I was going to do, But it was just cool because we were having fun that night, and I definitely want to go back and do it again at Fort Meigs. They have their little – if you look it up on the web, obviously it's around Halloween, and it's cool because I think it was like $5 or something, and they just walk you from station to station and tell you about the fort and tell you little ghost stories and stuff. But I can see I'm going on 17 minutes here. It's a lot longer than what I thought I would, but I just want to make a little post and say – you know, the do's and don'ts of taking photos during a ghost hunt. And if you have any questions, just email me through our Facebook page and I'll answer it. Maybe I can do some series, you know, some videos on to help you guys out. I don't know. So I'm going to let you go, or I'm going to end this segment. Thanks, Jen, for just sitting there staring at me while I babble. Anyhow, let's talk about the do's and don'ts of ghost hunting.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about our don'ts. I have five that I've come up with. My first one is don't trespass. Please, please make sure that you have permission.
Definitely.
When you are going to any location to investigate.
And yeah, and you know, by having permission also, people know you're there and if something happens.
Right. You know. Rule number two, don't go alone. There some of go. These places are abandoned. They're dangerous. If something were to happen to you, if you dropped your phone, you wouldn't have a way out. Who knows what would happen? So it's always important to go, or at least if you are going to go on your own, let somebody know where you're going to be and at what time.
Yeah. And we always hear those stories about people that get hurt because they went by themselves.
Right.
And they're stuck. I mean, it happens.
Yep,
it definitely happens.
So you never want to use any drugs or alcohol that would impair your judgment or your ability to investigate. Make sure that you are following the rules set by the locations that you are investigating. A lot of times they will give you rules of the do's and don'ts. Just make sure you follow them. It just makes it so much better if when you do follow the rules that they can continue to have these type of investigations without trouble or issues.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned about using alcohol and that, and another thing too is the caffeine. You know, you want to keep a clear head. That's the main thing.
Right. And when you are in a tense situation, you know, your heart rate goes up. You may be thinking you're feeling a presence or getting an EMF reading, and it could just be caused by your elevated level of caffeine.
Yeah, and energy drinks do that to me.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I had to actually stop drinking energy drinks because of that.
Okay, so another one is about wearing perfumes, colognes. One of the things that is one of your great tools is your sense of smell. So when you're in a location and you may be smelling some residual, maybe cigar smoke or perfumes, it's important not to bring your own scent into the location. You want to be able just to...
My man stink?
Your man axe.
Yes.
Let me axe you something.
I put on the axe.
Stinks. And another rule, don't ever, ever, ever wear the cologne Jupe. It stinks.
But didn't you buy me that for Christmas?
No.
Okay.
All right. Another one is, let's see what we got here. Always wear soft-soled shoes. So, tennis shoes, boots. Make sure that you are not wearing stilettos when you're tromping around in an investigation.
Cowboy boots.
Cowboy
boots. With the wooden heels.
Yeah.
And that, you know, these old buildings.
They echo.
Echo?
Echo.
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 Echo. But these buildings, you know, you hear, I mean, you could hear somebody walking three stories above you and you think it's a ghost.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's soft-soled shoes. Don't tell me. Don't ask me to say that. All right. Go ahead with your.
Okay. And then the last one is just shut up. Like, I've been on investigations where the paranormal groups, all they did was talk and talk and talk and talk to each other. It's really difficult to investigate when somebody won't shut up.
Yeah, I mean, God, just yelling and
background noise, singing, dancing, clapping, like people.
You can have the party after the investigation.
Yeah, not while it's going on. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And, you know, like you said before, people are paying good money. So, you know, just keep the noise down. And, you're not going to be able to hear things if you're loud.
Right. And also keep hydrated when you're out and about investigating. It's really important. You know, so even a 10% reduction in hydration could adversely affect your consciousness.
Yeah. And, you know, your awareness of the situation and everything, because your brain, you know, I've seen so many times just being out on photo hunts or whatever, and people start getting dehydrated and they act crazy, you know, and if you're out on an investigation and the people start acting funny, you think, wait a minute, are they possessed? But no, they're just dehydrated and the excitement of the moment and your heart rate's faster and everything. So you got anything else there?
I do not.
Okay. So let's go over the do's. Right. I'm on the do's list. Okay. So one
do's
of the,
look like a lady.
Do's look like a lady.
Yeah.
Just one of the important things is to make sure all your equipment's in good working condition, you know, make sure all your batteries are charged and everything, and everything's working good. Because one of the big things is, you know, make sure you have a good charged battery, because they go dead fast out there. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, having a fresh battery, you'll know if something drains your entire battery, you know that it's a possibility that something is using that energy to manifest or maybe to reach out. Whether it's on your digital recorder, your EMF detector, or just, you know, taking maybe the batteries from your camera.
Battery life, yeah. You know, and so that's one of the big things. Make sure all your equipment's in good working condition and make sure you have those extra batteries and stuff.
Definitely, because if they do drain your equipment, you want to be able to load it up, because that's probably a good indication that you're going to collect some evidence.
Mm-hmm. Second one I have here is, be open-minded.
Definitely.
You know, you go into a location, and I'm kind of the skeptic, and I'm learning a lot, but if you go in there and you've got the negative attitude already, that's going to show up in the negative energy. It's like you're drawing that energy.
You don't want to attract negative energy.
No.
But it's okay to be a skeptic. You know, everybody's a skeptic until they see something or find some evidence.
You know, and by you being open-minded too, you have to remember, you're not going to get something on every investigation.
Right.
And if you go in there with a closed mind thinking, we're going to see this, or you go in thinking, we're not going to see this, remember, everything that you tell your brain will answer.
Yes.
So be open-minded.
Yep.
When you do talk to the spirits, ask them for their permission.
Definitely.
You know, and be mindful of them. Think about, you know, don't go in there and, like Zach used to do all the time, he'd go in and provoke and yell and scream, and, you know, don't do that. They don't even do that anymore, because they found out that that only provokes the negative energy.
Right. So, and you don't want anything attaching itself to you and coming home with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, you know, like I said, you know, talk to the spirits.
Be respectful to them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is their place and this is where they're stuck or where they choose to remain. So.
And a lot of them don't even know that they're there, because time to them is nothing. And, you know, you also want to try to explain to them, I'm not there to be despicable or deceitful or whatever.
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful, yeah. But they're just there to help them and to understand their situations.
Right.
You know, one of the big do's is, and we brought it up with the soft-soled shoes. There I go again. Don't let me ever say that again.
I won't, I promise.
Wear the appropriate clothing. Remember, you're going into a building that is old, that has a lot of dust in the air. You know, you may even, if you have allergies or stuff like that, or asthma,
may want to bring
a mask.
A mask, a respirator, a handkerchief.
Handkerchief.
You know, who even uses that word anymore, handkerchief?
I don't have one, so. But, you know, appropriate clothing means you might want to bring an extra set of clothes.
And one thing, too, is be mindful of wearing clothes with reflective material on it, especially tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those have reflective material. It can mar your investigation.
Yeah, I never thought about that. A lot of coats nowadays have that reflective, you know, stripes on them. And when you take a picture across a room, no matter how far away you are, boom, you got that.
Right. And cause shadows, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, and number one do.
What is your biggest do?
Number one do is have fun.
Absolutely.
You know, have fun. And don't be the jerk.
Right.
But just have fun.
Enjoy the experience because, you know, if you're going on an investigation, a paid investigation, you want to enjoy your experience. You want to get your money's worth and...
What? I see you thinking.
I'm having serious brain farts today. I think
I tell you.
I think I'm possessed by a fart in my brain.
As you can see, folks, we are professionals.
We are so professional. So new at this, but we're having a good old time.
Okay. So that was our do's and our don'ts. And I know I babbled about the photography. And thanks, Jen, again, for putting up with me just sitting here talking, taking the show over.
Taking the show over.
Yeah. So... You know, we're going to let you go. Don't, thanks for listening.
Don't mix spirits with spirits. Yes. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. And hope you enjoyed the show.
Check us out on Facebook at 222paranormalpodcast.com. Leave us a message. Like our page.
And leave us a positive rating and review.
Yes. iTunes, Spotify.
And we'll see you next week.
Stitcher Radio. Peace out. Bye-bye.